The Cincinnati band The Raisins only had one official album release, a self-titled debut in 1983. But for the band's devoted fans, The Raisins are so much more than those 11 songs. The band's core members found that out earlier this year when they had to add dates for a reunion show at the Woodward Theater in Over the Rhine. Now a new documentary called The Bends tells the story of the band as The Raisins prepare for another series of shows at the Woodward later this month. This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me in this recorded interview to talk about The Raisins and the film are The Raisins guitarist and vocalist Rob Fetters, the band's bassist and vocalist Bob Niswanger, along with the director of the film The Bends, Michael Tittle. Thank you all so much for being here.
We're delighted.
Rob, The Raisins had a variety of members in the years the band was active. The four featured in the documentary are the core group. How did the four of you really connect?
Well, Bob and I grew up together in Sylvania, Ohio, which Michael has called the Liverpool of Ohio. It seemed like everybody was in a band when we were growing up. And we played with so many musicians, changing our names this way and that way, playing in bars in Toledo. But we played with other musicians, gradually started writing our own songs, lied to the audience, told them that the original song was, I don't know, REO Speedwagon or something like
Eagles.
That. Yeah. Or the Eagles, yeah.
Some B-side they just hadn't heard yet.
Yeah, and we basically just burn out a couple of dozen other musicians. Bob and I, stalwart boys that we were, stuck it out, and we didn't mind living in cheap motels. As we played, we became, a bit of a musician's musician band, because we certainly weren't popular any other way. So a lot of musicians wanted to play with us until they found out about my personality defects. And Rick Neuheisel came to a lot of gigs. He was a Berkeley student. He's a Cincinnati boy, I'll call it at the time. And he simply just told me he was the right keyboard player for the band. So we fired the guy we had summarily, executed him, and got Rick. So that's how he joined. And then we had another drummer who was lost at sea. So it was suggested that we audition Bam Powell.
We knew Bam because he used to live in Toledo for a period of time. He's originally from South Lebanon. So he wandered north for some reason and was playing with just a number of Toledo musicians. Toledo was actually a pretty active music town. When we were in need of somebody, we knew that he was a guy that was really good.
Well, I was a teenager in the 80s around here when the Raisins were big and had such a dedicated fan base. Bob, why do you think so many people were such devoted fans?
As Rob said in the film that I hope everybody sees, it was kind of a cult. When we started really just centering up on doing our own music, and we were down to playing one Monday night a week for about a year, I think, those people knew that, you know, that was what was going on Monday night, and if they wanted to see this band, they would come out on Monday night, and by cracky, they did.
Well, and you scheduled this reunion concert earlier this year. It turned into multiple concert dates because the shows kept selling out. Rob, why do you think the band has this kind of lasting power?
We were really good. And we had a really, I see it now more than ever, just a fascinatingly eclectic bunch, basket of songs going in many different directions, which was our strength and our weakness. I would say Michael might answer that question better than
an eclectic set of music, high energy. I think, too, we have to remember that leading up to the height of the Raisins, we were in a cover band economy. And the Raisins broke the mold on that around here. So you could go see original music. You could see a blueprint of what success looked like, whether you were a musician or just a fan of music. And I think, too, I was kind of in a generation before the fans of the Raisins, but my sister, she was a fan. And I think there was it was a happening. It was a culture, and it gave people something to look forward to and party and enjoy it. And I think all those things came together.
Michael, your documentary features performances from one of those shows at the Woodward and Over the Rhine. If that is the case, then I made up my mind. I'd rather go to animal heaven. I don't want to go where the clergymen go. I want to go to animal heaven. You got your men of power. All the heads.
It also showcases these conversations with these four core members of the band. What story were you really hoping to tell in this film?
I didn't live through the Raisins. I got into these gentlemen's music when the Bears debuted. I got to witness that. And that was my gateway into the Raisins repertoire.
Yeah, and we should explain that Bob and Rob, you are also, after the Raisins broke up, you were members of the Bears.
It's a convoluted history, and it's hard to keep all the pieces in place. What I really wanted to do was we're such a vast fan base that experienced the music and the band in real time. I didn't want to retrace that. I wasn't there. They were all there. But what I wanted to do was really try to give the fans a glimpse of the story they wouldn't have had access to by just being people in the audience experiencing the music. So I really wanted to try to get these four gentlemen to give a glimpse of what goes into music that the fans don't see. It's an obsession. It can be heartbreaking. It's chemistry. It is, being in a band is being, it is like a marriage in many ways.
And Mike, why did you feel like that story was worth telling almost 40 years after this band had broken up?
This story, at least the way I saw it, is really the story of the creative journey for anyone that's creative. You know, it's a bit of the hero's journey as well. But I think, you know, when you start out as a creative or an artist and you have something to say, it's so much about the art, and it's so much about getting that art out into the world and appreciated. And you have perceptions of what success should look like. And over time, that changes. And that's really why I thought that this film could be interesting to anybody. Even if you weren't a Raisins fan, I think it's a story of hopes and dreams and what happens. And I think most importantly, how success gets redefined in a way that is kind of the journey of a lifetime, really.
We're talking in this recorded conversation about the Cincinnati band, The Raisins, and a new documentary about the group. Bob, let's talk about The Raisins' music. Rob kind of alluded to this. It was so diverse. Did you see that as a strength of the band or a weakness back in the 80s? And I wonder if your perspective has changed over time.
My perspective on the diversity of what we were doing has not changed, and it's part of the reason the band was together as long as it was. It's just because it wasn't boring. I mean, we loved Beatles records because all the songs did not sound the same. So we kind of reveled in the fact that we could do a soul song or a heavy-duty rock and roll tune, or just, you know, we had a wide range. I think it kept people from getting bored, too. I mean, seriously, that's why we have a lot of fans still.
I got too many friends.
As far as commercial success, it killed us. You know, it stopped it. That was the ceiling. But just as a participant in it, all I remember is we would all come to practices with new songs because we were just drinking a lot of coffee and writing a lot of songs. And it was always a competition. Whose song are we going to work on? At the time, I didn't have an overview. I didn't have a meta view of what, how to corral this wild, many-headed beast into something. So I was more concerned of, is this a good song or is it a bad song? That was really all I cared about. And actually, I think it's still all we care about. I mean, that's just being in a collaborative situation.
So I told you all before we started recording this that, you know, when the song Fear Is Never Boring started playing in the documentary, I started singing along, which is bad news for my husband, my cats, because I'm not a good singer. It was such a big hit locally. Bob, I think you were in the film. I think you're the one. I apologize if it was a different member of the band who talked about how you could hear it on a couple different radio stations playing at the same time.
That was me, yeah. And that actually happened, you know. And when you hear your own song on the radio, to turn it to a different station, you know, I just did it for fun, and lo and behold, that was it was playing on two stations at once, Q102 and WEBN, at the same time.
That's just wild. And I remember hearing it so much as a teenager listening to those stations. Was that a highlight for you, Bob? And then I'll ask you, Rob.
Oh yeah, as I said in the documentary, I knew it was all downhill from there.
What do you mean all downhill?
Well, I mean it's not going to get any better than that. As far as commercial play, you know, it was a unique thing.
What about for you, Rob? Because that was your song. You wrote that song.
I wrote that song. For me, writing the song is making the songs. That process is the high point. The other stuff is, I mean, if somebody likes it, that's really wonderful, but it's not as gratifying or magical to me.
The band was such that we could bring a song in and have enough faith in each other. I had total trust in everybody's musical abilities that they were going to bring their best to it and do something unique and cool with it. So that, I think, was the key to whatever musical success we had.
Michael, in your film, you really made a point of asking each of the members of the band about what they thought of as the band's high points and low points. We've heard about high points with Bob and Rob. What did you hear from the others?
It was interesting because, you know, four unique individuals, they all have different answers to all the questions. And I think that, for me, was the first realization about this film was that it, as clean of a narrative as the film, I think, finally gets to, it was a real puzzle to put it together. And I think from everybody, there were some common highs and lows. I mean, certainly the work ethic came out loud and clear. And again, I think that's one of the things people need to remember about the Raisins in this era was, again, they were really hardworking musicians trying to make a go of it doing original music, which, again, wasn't so obviously easy to do back then at this, you know, early 80s.
Yeah.
So you get from each a different flavor, a nuance of how hard it was, how fun at times it was, but also how grueling. You know, one particular narrative was the gigs you all did in Florida, where, you know, they were almost like a house band for a good portion of a week, and they would travel down to Pensacola or various places in Florida, and they would do these gigs where they would do a couple nights in a row, and then they would come back to Cincinnati, and they would have so. You know, those kind of high and lows that you would get, the Thanksgiving dinner outside Louisiana that I heard about, which sounded fairly miserable. But I think that's all just the testament to how bad the band wanted to succeed. And they were making a living doing original music, which, again, is just kind of a mini miracle, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, the Raisins broke up before making a second official studio album. After working so hard and playing so hard and hitting the road for years, when you look back at that time, Bob, I'll ask both of you, when you start with you, Bob, when you look back at that time, how do you think about it?
Well, if you're immersed in it, you're not, you know, I think it was just life. It was, you know, that's, this is the life I've chosen, and what we're, what I'm doing is everything I can do to make this successful and you know, write great songs and play them with a great band. And what has been cool is that everybody in the band is still a musician. I mean, it's that we never stop doing it. So when we do these shows together, it's we're playing with competent, well-traveled people. You know, that
that's the nicest thing you've ever said about me, Bob.
Well, you know, Rob's got guts because he will get in front of a very small group of people by himself under intense scrutiny, and that's a special kind of pressure that, well, I learned doing your closed circuit show or the YouTube show. It's just a it's almost worse, or it's almost harder playing for no people or few people than playing for thousands of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you do a live stream, there's no audience.
None. So
after,
you get
after
no
the rousing
feedback.
Finish to a song. Yeah.
That's right. You have no idea how people are reacting to it.
But like I said before, I make it up. it's all pretend, isn't it?
Rob, how do you look back at those years of the Raisins?
The thing I that has happened repeatedly over the years that is really wonderful is that people, I like to run a lot, like yesterday, for instance, I was really glad I was running with a shirt on, even though it was kind of warm, because a woman on a trail said, "You're Rob Fetters," and she told me all about myself. I forget the question now, over the years, when people have just done the nicest things. And you sent emails or somehow messaged me, sent me beautiful free guitars. and I go, why? And they said, because you meant so much to me when I was young. And so that's really gratifying to know that. And often I just say, God, I'm really glad I was nice to these people, because there is like a real big payback for behaving myself. Because when I look back at myself, I look at a misbehaving person a lot of times.
Well, I have been talking with the Raisins guitarist and vocalist, Rob Fetters, the band's bassist and vocalist, Bob Nieswanger, and director of the film The Bends, Michael Tittle. The documentary The Bends is available to watch on demand. We'll have a link on our website, and the Raisins will be playing 3 shows at the Woodward and Over the Rhine on November 27th, 29th, and 30th. You can find a link with more information on our website, wpxu.org. Thank you all so much for your time today.
Thank you. Pleasure.
Thanks, guys. Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on WBXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Technical director is Marshall Verbsky. I'm Lucy May. Thanks for listening.